Judges chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died, and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites? Did oppress you, and ye cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me, and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped at Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we begin then in chapter 10 with a couple of judges, and really not a lot is said about them. Since not a lot is said about them, we have very little to say about them. The relative peace of their days, the days of Tola and Jair, and we see the prosperity of Jair. One was from Ephraim and one was from Gilead. So Gilead, you remember, is the land that was on the eastern side of Jordan in those 2.5 tribes that lived up there. That's the land of Gilead proper. Ephraim south of there and on the other side of Jordan. And so both of those judges judged Israel in those days, and there was relative peace in their days and prosperity. But then in verse 6, we have the beginning once again of this A, B, C, D pattern, right? Apostasy, which leads to bondage, which leads to crying out to the Lord, which leads to deliverance. We will not get to the deliverance in this chapter. That happens in the next chapter, but we will have the apostasy, the bondage, and the crying out unto the Lord. So, let us first of all think of this, that we have this this relative peace for 23 years and then for 22 years. So about 45 years we have peace in Israel. And may I say it this way, that while peace is always a good thing, it's not always used rightly by us. Sometimes when we're at peace, we use it in such a way that we become indulgent. And when we become indulgent, we begin chasing after our own desires. And so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord after that time of relative peace. It is interesting to think about, isn't it? What kind of people would we be without trial and struggle? What kind of people would we be if we were always at some kind of relative peace with no difficulty in our lives at all? Nothing, no affliction to deal with. I know that we think that would be a great estate, but in the design of the Lord, it often turns out not so great. That the peace that we seek often leads to its own set of temptations. And so the children of Israel here, after 45 or so relative years of peace, apostatized from the Lord, and it seemed that there was no God around them that they did not worship. There's quite a list mentioned here, and they went after all of them, every single one. Even as the people of God, they served idols. All right, so then the anger of the Lord in verse 7 was hot against Israel. I know that there's a teaching that is kind of out there in churches that God doesn't get angry with his people. If God never got angry with his people, he wouldn't love them very well. Sometimes we do things where we need the anger and chastisement of the Lord upon us to deliver us. And so the Lord will send affliction. He will send difficulty to us to heal us. He will send his chastisements. And so he sold them into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the children of Ammon, and they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. This is in Gilead. And then Ammon passed over. They thrust themselves over Jordan into the land of Judah. And so it wasn't just Gilead anymore. Then they were in Israel proper, and everyone in the nation was sore distressed. Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, Gilead, all of it. So we have the apostasy, we have the bondage. And then verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They're crying out, right? We have sinned against thee because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. Do you notice that they have identified that they sinned in two particulars? We have forsaken the Lord and we've worshipped Baalim. You see, both of those things are sins. And this is important for us to remember, that there will be many that may stand before the Lord in the day of judgment and say, well, I never worshipped any false gods. He's going to ask, but did you forsake me? Did you forsake me? So it is important that we consider this in both particulars that the Israelites confess here. We have forsaken the Lord and served Baalim. The word for service there is simply the word that means to serve. It's a word that the word servant comes from, and it is those services of worship that the Baalite religion required. And so the Lord said unto the children of Israel, this is the Lord vindicating himself, and he often does that. You know why he does that, right? He doesn't need to justify himself to us. But he does condescend to us, and he represents his own history to us, that he has done everything that we need so that we might be impressed that the fault lies all with ourselves and not with him. It is not due to some grace that he withheld. It is not due to some temptation that he allowed to slip through the sieve that we fell. It's not his fault. And the day that Adam stood up after his fall and he said to God, "The woman that thou gavest me," we recognize the sinfulness of that excuse. The Lord often rises up and says, "I have done all of these things." In the book of Micah, he says, "What have I done? How have I wearied thee? Testify against me," the Lord says. And he does so not because there is anything accountable in him, but that it might be driven home to our consciences that we have no escape for our departure. It is our fault. And oh, don't we hate hearing those words? It's our fault. And so the Lord vindicates himself to the children of Israel. They get the message. "You have forsaken me, served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." Of course, that is the last thing that we would want to hear. Now, the Lord does not, let me say it this way, the Lord is using that as a teaching moment. He doesn't really mean that in the absolute sense, because they will go on to continue to cry to him, and it says that his heart will be grieved for them, and he will deliver them. In fact, in the next chapter, he's going to send the mighty warrior Jephthah to deliver them. So, when the Lord says something like that to his people, it's not that he's poised to break his promises, because all of his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The Lord does, however, use statements like that to draw us down farther in our humility when that is necessary to our repentance. And so the Lord did speak to them in very harsh terms. "Go and cry to those gods and see if they will deliver you." Of course, they say, "No, we will submit ourselves under thy hand. Please deliver us just this once, and then do whatever you please with us." And so, the Lord raises up a deliverer. We'll not get to that in this chapter. But the people of the princes of Gilead said to one another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Well, we have been talking throughout the book of Judges about unlikely deliverers. When we come to Jephthah in the next chapter, we're going to find that he is yet another unlikely deliverer, an illegitimate son. And yet, he is the one whom the Lord will call upon to drive out the enemy from the land. Thus,